Last week we had a Shiloh, we're continuing. I'll remind everyone, the Shiloh, those who were here, those who were not here, was as follows. It was Purim, because now we're in Rosh Chodesh, we're in Chodesh Adar now, and we're getting ready, excited for Purim. And it was the day of Purim, like many yeshivas go around collecting. There was one bachur who was in charge of holding on to the money, the cash and the checks that were collecting for his particular yeshiva. He got so drunk, he ended up losing the money. He lost the checks, he lost the cash, 10,000 shkalim he lost. And the treasurer, the head of the yeshiva, the executive director, says, "You owe me the money. This is the money that was supposed to be in the hands of the yeshiva. You were negligent, and therefore you owe me the money." So last week we discussed the angle of Purim. We discussed what chiv is there, how drunk should a person get? Should a person get drunk at all? Should he only drink and go to sleep? Should he get very wasted? How drunk should one be? What's the chiv? And even if one does get drunk, how far does that go in terms of responsibility to damages, responsibility for lost objects, for Geneva, Aveda, Nezikin? I mentioned to you, I was giving a shir, which I already had given this past Sunday night in the Five Towns. We had a special program of shirim during the Super Bowl. For those who wanted to elevate their day in a different way than watching the Super Bowl, we had shirim. So I gave a shir actually on damages and injuries during while playing sports. Are you responsible for that? So we spoke about, you know, when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to doing a mitzvah, there's a dispensation, there's a patur, there's an exemption from having to pay damages when doing a mitzvah. When it comes to dancing, chasen nakala, when it comes to, we spoke about jousting last week, they used to joust in front of the chasen nakala, and they damage each other's clothing and the horses, you're patur because simchas yamtiv, simchas chasen vegala. But does that apply also to damaging when it comes to playing sports? So this was not for now, but what I said Sunday night was, when you step into the arena, when you step onto the field, into the court, whatever sport you're playing, there's an understanding that you might get hurt, he might get hurt. There's an implicit mechila that's there. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch writes explicitly, if two people decide to wrestle, they agree we're going to have a wrestling match. If one person blinds the other person, he's patur. Because you understand when you step into the arena, you're going to box, you're going to wrestle, there's potential for injury, and therefore there's mechila. So similarly, when it comes to Simchas Yantiv, Simchas Purim, there's drinking along with that. Does this individual have a ptur? And we spoke last week that when it comes to this, no, we really don't have a ptur. Even though Simchas Purim is in order to celebrate and to enjoy your time, that was not a good enough exclusion to ptur as related to this person, this bacher's responsibility for the money. I want to hold off for questions to the end because that, we lose the flow. I apologize. But I want to keep questions all the way to the end. That was all last week. Let's move now to this week's topic, continuing the same Shiloh. What responsibility does he have as a shomer? Forget Purim now. Forget Purim. As a shomer, as a guard to watch something, we know a person is a shomer, shomer chinam, a shomer sachar, different types of guards out there and the certain levels of responsibility. Is this, or was this individual, this bachar, was he considered a shomer watching over the money that he was collecting? So his first taina was that he's not a shomer. You know why he wasn't a shomer? Because to be a shomer, and I apologize, this first page that's empty with like a mark, there's supposed to be a gemara there. I have no idea what happened to that gemara, guys. I apologize. It was on my computer. I sent it over. Everything's backwards, upside down. But there is a gemara there. And so exactly, the gemara tells us as follows. The gemara tells in Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadi Tes, that there's a the phrase is as follows. Kederech shetiknu mishicha bilakuchos kak tiknu mishicha b'shomim. In order for you to acquire something, you have to do a mishicha. Pull the object, and now you've pulled it into your possession. You have full acquisition, full ownership of this item. So too, when it relates to shomim, for you to be responsible for something in your possession, you have to do a mishicha. That's the understanding. So this individual, this bacher claimed, he never did a mashicha. There is never a kinyan that was done to make him a shomer. To be a shomer, you have to make a kinyan. You know, just like when you sell the chametz with Rabbi Goldberg or whomever you sell your chametz with. So oftentimes you have a kinyan to be memanehim a shliach. To make him a shliach, there's a kinyan that's preferable. So too when it comes to being a shomer, you're supposed to make a kinyan. The bacher said, I never made such a kinyan. Don't hold me responsible. So there's a machlokas how to interpret that line in the Gemara. We're going to just jump to the Shulchan Aruch. Again, I apologize. There were page numbers once upon a time. But if you could look at this page that says on the top, Choshe Mishpat Shin Mem, Hilchal Sheila, if you could see from this far away, there's a circle in the letter Dalet. Here we have a Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah have the following machlokas. In general, as it relates to showmen, guards. The Mechaber writes, Hashoel behema chayiv b'mizanoseha. A person who borrows a animal, he must feed the animal. If he borrows a cow, it's responsibility to feed the cow. If it starves to death, he's responsible. Misha shemoshcha ad sof yimei she'elasa. The moment he does a meshicha, the moment he does a kinyan, it's his responsibility to feed, take care, and tend to the animal until the she'ela is over. Now this is talking about a she'ela, but a chew of other shomrim as well, all other types, shomer chinam, shomer sachar, and so on. The Ramah adds in the parentheses, hagav ye shomrim, delo beina meshicha, you don't need an acquisition, you don't need to make a ma'isa kinyan, ella, miyad immediately, shenistalka habaylim, the moment the baylim relinquish their rights, and they say it's yours, that's already within his jurisdiction of the shomer to watch over. So now, in our case, the shomer never made an acquisition, he never made a kinyan to make him a shomer, however, he was appointed that way. There was nistalka habaylim, if you will. The treasurer said, you're responsible for this. So according to the Ramah, since the Ramah holds you don't need a kinyan to be a shomer, this guy, in fact, was a shomer, even though there was no kinyan. But according to the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch, the Svardim, he would not be a shomer because you would need a kinyan. That's at first glance. So maybe this question depends on whether he was a Svardi Ashkenazi. If he was a Svardi, he has every right to claim, I didn't make a kinyan, I'm not a shomer. But if this Bachar was, in fact, a Ashkenazi who follows the Ramah, so the moment you're appointed Shomer, and the moment that the Baal is nostalgic, his rights from it, he now is responsible to take and watch over the money. Now, the truth is, even if you hold like the Svardim that you need a kinyan, this case actually is different. Even the Svardim would agree in this situation that the Bachar is a Shomer. He never made a kinyan. So we're about to see in the Nesivus. Nesivus writes in the bottom, I'll say this outside. If a person is a zocha for on behalf of someone else, let's say Reuven is zocha for Shimon, an item. I see a metziah, I pick it up for Shimon. It's now Shimon's, I picked it up. Or let's say, very common. You want to buy a gift for someone for Shabbos. Now there's a halacha, you're not allowed to give gifts on Shabbos. Mekach Memkor, you can't give a gift. So you have two options. Either you could say, I'm giving this to you, but don't acquire it till after Shabbos. Or, prior to Shabbos, I could be zoch on behalf, zochen la'odom shlo b'fanav, I could acquire, pick it up on behalf of my host before Shabbos. He owns it right now, Erev Shabbos. So let's say I do zochen. I go to the candy store and I buy it on behalf of Shimon, my host. So he owns it, even though he doesn't know he owns it, but he owns it, zochen la'odom shlo b'fanav. He wants it once he knows about it. It's his right now. You don't have to tell him, no. Erev Shabbos, he owns it. Now that he owns it, it's on my possession. Am I a shomer? Let's say I lose it. Do I owe him money now? Do I have to pay him back for it? The din is yes. The moment you zocha on behalf of his, not only did you acquire, but you actually made yourself responsible for something that happened. You might owe him $25 if you lose that candy platter now. So this is mefurish. If you look at the bottom of this page in the Nesivus, if you look at the brackets here, aval bezocha legadol, if you're zocha on behalf of a gadol, Nira divadai have shomer have kisha gadol einkan. Even though the gadol's not here, you become a shomer automatically. Even though there's no kinyan that made him into a shomer, but still, if he now this bachar is now busy collecting money for the yeshiva, he's zochi on behalf of his yeshiva. He now becomes a shomer against his will, and therefore he's fully responsible for anything that happens to the money. Now, is it very clear? Yeah.
Straight. Case over.
Yeah. Okay, so we have more. Now, we have more to do. Now, the next way out, again, it's not so we already have proved that he's really a shomer now, but another time he could have had, we'll see, it really doesn't make a difference. He could have said, but I never said. First claimed I didn't make a kinyan. Okay, fine, you didn't make a kinyan. But he said, not only did I not make a kinyan, I never agreed on it. I never said, you never told me to be a shomer. You told me just to collect the money. But you never said, I'm responsible for the money. That's not a very good claim. Because when it's understood from the context, what's going on. You don't have to be assigned your job description. Certain things are obvious, very implicit, and that's not a way out. Just to make it clear, in case you thought otherwise, if you look at the next page, where it says in the top, Choshen Mishpat Shin Tzadiches. If you look at the brackets there. Here we have, Vimhizik Shur Baal HaChatzer, L'Shur HaNichnas Bershus Patim. So let's say I own a chatzer, and Shimon asks if he could bring his shore into my backyard. I've got my ox, he's got his ox, it's my property. Now he brings his ox inside. So if my shore gores his shore, I'm pater. Elim ken kibola bala chatzer shmiraso. I just said you could bring your shore in my backyard. I didn't say I'm responsible for damage. You, whatever happens, it's your tough luck. Unless I accept it upon myself explicit Shmira, tough luck. But Yeshua, my mother say no. The Chavin did not send Lovishus Likanes. Once I allowed Shimon to bring his ox in here, it was a Kielu Kibolav Shmiraso, as if I accepted Shmira, that you bring your ox in, you're responsible for your ox, I'm responsible for my ox, and therefore the implicit Shmira would be there, and it might be Tully on whether he was a Svardi or Ashkenazi. So obviously when he was empowered to collect the money, it was understood that you want to be responsible for the money also, while for the Shulchan Aruch, unless it's said explicitly, maybe not so. But like we said before, the moment you're Zocha on behalf of someone else and you're holding someone else's property, Mimela, you're certainly Chayiv as a Shomer. So this guy's a Shomer. The Bacha's a Shomer, and seemingly he was negligent in losing the money. He owes money back to the yeshiva. So that's where we stand right now. Is there any way we could exempt him from anything? Well, not that we want to, but mehalacha, is there a way he would be off the hook? So this is one way. We know when it comes to shomer, there's certain items that the shomer is putter from if he loses, it gets stolen, or gets damaged. So look at that bottom, simin shun aleph, halachas of shomer, the aleph there, the circle. Shlosha dinim ha'amur metor ba'arba shomer. There are three matters that are said about the four different shomer we have. Einam lo b'karkals, they don't apply to karka. Lo b'avadim, if a person's watching an eved and something happens, he's not responsible. Lo b'sharos, if it happens to a document, he's not responsible. Lo b'nichse ager, lo b'hekdeshel, shemizbech, and a whole slew of different things. Which one on this line do we want? Call out the word. Shtaros. Shtaros. That means if a shomer is watching over someone else's documents, contracts, other types of shtaros, and that shomer loses it, even if he's posheya, even if he's completely negligent, the din is, he is pater from paying back the shtaros. Now, I didn't say, gzeres hakasav. Pasuk says, gzeres hakasav, no questions. So now, last week, I didn't say this week, but last week we were told the breakdown of the 10,000 shkolim were as follows. He had 8,000 shkolim that were from actual money, cash, and 2,000 shkolim in checks. Checks, according to most, are considered shtaros. Checks themselves have no intrinsic value. They represent Reuven owes Shimon. It's a shtar. So for those $2,000 worth of shtaros, he is off the hook. Because Gzeres HaKasav says, when it comes to shomrim, you don't pay for shtaros. He's off the hook. But the $8,000 in cash he has, that's not considered shtaros. That's actual kesef. And he's still responsible for the 8,000 kesef that he already collected. So is there any way we could exempt this poor bacher from the 8,000 shkolim that he owes the yeshiva? Or is he fully responsible? What? This is not hektish. This is tzedakah. Tzedakah might have a certain dinim of hektish, but not actual tzedakah. But you're getting onto something very good. Look at the next page. The top of the page is Choshen Mishpat Shin Aleph. Hilchos Pikadon. This Shulchan Aruch is based on an interesting Gemara that actually says that an individual, a gabbai tzedakah, one who collects money for the aniyim, and he loses the money, the gabbai tzedakah is actually off the hook. He's pater. There are two reasons I'll say outside, then we'll read this inside together. Two reasons why he's off the hook. Number one reason why this gabbai tzedakah is off the hook is because it's a mamon she'ein lam tovim, which means it's money that nobody could claim. It's aniyim in general. There's no one who would come make a big toveah from him. Where's my money? It was for the public. So therefore, since there's no one who's being toveah from him, He's off the hook for technical reasons. He's responsible, but technical reasons, he's off the hook because there's no one to be toveihim. That's reason number one. Reason number two is the Rishonim invoke a pasuk. We'll see this in just a second. The pasuk says, only are you responsible as a shomer when it comes to lishmor, to watch, but if your responsibility is lechalik laniyim, if your responsibility is to give out, to divvy out to aniyim, yes, you're actually watching the money, but your goal is to lechalik laniyim, that's not part of the halachas of shomim. There's some level of shmir that the gabbai tzedakah has, but that's not his ikar purpose. Ikar purpose isn't to be a shomer, his ikar purpose is lechalik laniyim, and that's based on the pasuk why a gabbai tzedakah would be off the hook if he were to lose the money. So look at that inside to see the Shulchan Aruch say this. This is the Osvab, now that circle. Mishif gidu etzlo ma'os anim, a person who gave someone some money of anim tzedakah, opidion shvuim, a money collected to redeem the captured, upasha behem, and he was negligent, v'nigenivu, and they were stolen from him, he's pater. This shomer, this guy by tzedakah is off the hook. Why? Shenemar, lishmor tzez nepasuk v'lo lechalek l'anim, that's svara one. Because only as a shomer is one responsible for the halachas of pshi and shomrim, but not one who is a lechalik lani, not a gabay tzedakah. And secondly, the Shulchan Aruch writes, the other reason found in Rishonim, harehu, where we turn now? Which page is it? Harehu, this page, if you guys are following. Harehu, this one, it says on the top, Shin Aleph again, harei mamon she'ein lehem tovim. This is money that there's known to be Toveya. It wasn't collected for a particular person. It was collected for Aniyim in general, and therefore, he would be off the hook. That's where we stand right now. So he has a good taina, this bacher, that since he's a gabay tzedakah, he would not be responsible. Now, let's keep reading, however. In the Shulchan Aruch. Sorry?
What page are you on?
We are, again, I apologize. This is not my fault. This is the computer's fault. There were page numbers on my computer. Not sure what happened. In transit, something got messed up. The last page now, the one with words, not the one that's empty, one with words. So in the very top line, it says Ayin Beis on the top right. We're going to continue reading. She'ein lem tovim b'med v'emem ruim. Where is it? Shu g'she'ein lezeh mamon mufkar l'ani makom zeh. Olu shvuyim yiduyim. When is this gabay tzedakah pater? Only when the money is not reserved for particular people of a location or particular known captives. If it was designated for a particular aniyim of a location or maybe family names, it's already been destined for them. This is money that has tovim. People who are claiming that's our money that was stolen, that's our money that was lost. V'yishalem im pasha o yishba shelo pasha k'derech kol shom. He would have to pay for the negligence. So in this case, since the money was collected for the purpose of a particular yeshiva, a particular purpose of tamidim, of young alight, whoever the money was for, you can't say ein lehem tovim. That's the din here. Now, there is one other taina here. The final title, we'll stop with this. I'll let the next share, I know you've been saying for a while, so we'll shorten this a little bit. The last taina was as follows, that maybe you can make a claim that only the gabay tzedakah has the p'tur, but they bring down here that the shomer of the gabay tzedakah would have a different than he would be actually be chayiv in that case. So we just saw the Ramah. If you look at the Ramah, Ramah writes, it's a machokas, we show whether the shomer has the same din as the gabay tzedakah himself. So this bacher was not the gabay tzedakah. The treasurer is the gabay tzedakah. He gives out the money, the executive director. So this, even if you want to claim he has a patur, it wouldn't apply to the actual bacher. He's not really the gabay tzedakah. He's a regular shomer, says the Ramah. V'chein imagabay amar l'shomer, shomerli, chayiv kishar shomer. If the gabay tzedakah, if the executive director tells the Ruvein, the bacher, you are going to watch over this, you become the shomer, he does not have any of the patur, all the exceptions that exist when it comes to gabay tzedakah of aniyim. So in other words, there are two reasons why to make this bacher chayev. Number one is, in general, the gabay tzedakah is pater, the shomer is not pater. Number two is, even the gabay tzedakah in this case would have been chayev because the only time a gabay tzedakah is pater is when it's mamon shein lem tovim, when there's no one to claim the money. But since this instance, there are Those who are tovin the money, because it was done, it was collected for a particular purpose. For that reason, this bachur is chayiv, and all the tainis are thrown out the window, and he would have to pay, unfortunately, the 8,000 shkam. Okay, I'll stop here and let the next begin.